Okay, I almost did it again. You know, Gary starts playing that music, and then I just am like, you know, let it go. Keep playing it. Let's go play another one. But we got more to talk about here on the radio broadcast, so I'll just have to do that in my car afterwards. I've been listening to this CD. It's called Keith and Kristen Getty, Modern and Traditional Hymns, live at the Gospel Coalition. And just an excellent CD. This is what they're going to be singing about at the upcoming concert that's going to be taking place this Saturday night. It's going to be at First Baptist Church of Spartanburg, 7 o'clock. If you haven't got your ticket yet, I would get out there and get your ticket because this thing is going very quickly. And it may already be close to being sold out. I'm not sure. I haven't checked into it just before the broadcast today. I was looking up on some other articles. But I would recommend if you want to go, it's, you know, if you like good music, and specifically this one has a little bit of an Irish flair to it. And so if you'd like the, a wee bit of Irish music there as well, I think you're going to enjoy this. They do an excellent job. Full orchestra with them, you know, they have all kinds of instruments there when they do this. They have a full choir, that's what I meant to say, too. Last time, I think there was 100 people in the choir from area churches that are participating as well. So, I mean, it's quite an event. It'd be an excellent thing for you to go out to on Saturday night. Okay, with that, let me switch to the topic that we wanted to cover in the second half of the broadcast today. I mentioned yesterday we were talking about evangelism, and somebody asked me the question afterwards. In fact, I saw a couple of things about this that prodded my interest to talk about it on the program today. But they asked, you know, Reformed theology, does it believe then in the idea of a sinner's prayer? Well, I would say that there's a couple of resources that we can look at to talk about this. Let me talk about one of them. One is J.D. Greer, popular speaker and author, has just written a book not that long ago where he talked about, the title of the book was Stop Asking Jesus Into Your Heart. And then the subtitle was How to Know for Sure That You Are Saved. And that particular book was written because there was some controversy, especially in the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention, about this this practice of leading people to Christ by getting them to say, quote unquote, a sinner's prayer. And some of the issues associated with that came up. David Platt, who has a very popular book that speaks about radical. I don't know if you remember that, but he was a New York Times bestselling author about, you know, living our lives in a radical way for Jesus Christ and so forth. He had a follow-up book called Radical Together as well. Both of them were very, very popular. Well, David Platt had made a comment that the sinner's prayer was superstitious and unbiblical. Now, he's Southern Baptist himself, and so he had made that that statement about the sinner's prayer. And what they are actually referring to is they're referring to the way that this prayer is being used. I think that it's more a reaction, not so much, you know, to the idea, obviously, that people are expressing an interest in coming to Christ in the form of a prayer, but what's being reacted to is the manipulation that seems to be associated with it. Now, I had this happen myself in my own experience. We did for many years a program as you know, with children over in the public school system, and let me tell you, it is extremely easy to get children to raise their hand and say that they want to come to Christ, and to even get them to pray a sinner's prayer, or to sign a little statement or check off a box on a prayer card saying that they had received Christ as their Savior. As you know, this is, it's extremely easy to manipulate people, especially children, into doing that. So we were extremely careful in our approach not to do that, because we deemed the idea of people thinking that they were saved when they really weren't saved as being more dangerous than not striking when the iron is hot, when the emotional fervor is at the point that you want it to be at, that you go ahead and get people to make a decision right then and there for Jesus Christ. So there's where the problem comes in. J.D. Greer was in an interview with Trevin Wax out on the Gospel Coalition, and they talked about this. Trevin Wax said there's been a lot of conversation about the legitimacy of the sinner's prayer and how we lead people to put their faith in Christ. What concerns you about this conversation and its implications in evangelicalism and its outreach? And so he begins to breach this subject with him. And basically, J.D. Greer says God never promised to give salvation to someone because they pray some magical words or because they go through a ceremony at the altar of the church. God gives salvation to those who repent and believe the gospel. It is natural to express repentance and faith in prayer, but you can repent and believe without praying the prayer per se, as you can pray the prayer without repenting and believing. So both of those two things can be true. You can be saved without praying the sinner's prayer, that particular prayer. And many people who actually pray the sinner's prayer are not truly saved. So there's where the bristling comes from, especially people in reform circles, that we bristle against that notion that if we can just get people to pray this prayer. I've seen all sorts of abuses of this. You know, I saw one testimony where a girl had given a testimony saying that she had kind of tricked her dad into saying the sinner's prayer. And so she was saying that, you know, even though he mouthed the words but wasn't even sure what he was talking about, the fact that he had said those words, you know, automatically now she was rejoicing in the things of God that he was now saved because she had tricked him into saying the sinner's prayer. Well, there's nothing magical at all there about the prayer itself. You know, we're looking for people to be brought to the end of themselves. This is the power of the Holy Spirit, the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life. What happens is they are brought to the end of themselves. They see themselves in the woeful condition that they're in, that they are the objects of God's wrath, like we see in Pilgrim's Progress, right? Where he sees himself that he's in the city of destruction, and he is, you know, flee the wrath to come. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon them because of their sins. You know, what we're actually fleeing is God himself, the wrath of God being poured out to us due to our sins. And so people come under that conviction, and then at the same time, or shortly thereafter, chronologically, what takes place is that same Spirit of God then enables them to look outside of themselves and to see Christ as he's presented to us in the Scriptures, and then to be able to embrace Christ. So that is repentance and belief in the gospel message, and that is the beginning stage of conversion in the life of the soul of a believer. Let me play a clip for you from, this clip is from Paul Washer. And Paul Washer, it's about a 5-minute clip, but Paul Washer addresses this issue in the clip. Now, in this clip that I found, it's called Declaring War on the Sinner's Prayer. And so here is Paul Washer talking about, you know, what his objection is to the sinner's prayer. About 5 minutes long. I'll come back afterwards.
The doctrine of regeneration. Look at the Wesleys. Look what they had to face for a moment. And my dear Whitfield, what was it? Everybody believed they were Christian. Thoroughly Christian. Why? Well, they were baptized as infants, brought into the covenant. They were confirmed. They lived like devils. Regeneration was traded for a type of creedalism that was given authority by the religious leaders of the day. And then here comes the Wesleys. No, it is not right with your soul. You are not born again. There is no evidence of spiritual life. Examine yourself. Test yourself if you are in the faith. Make your calling and election sure. ye must be born again here in America because of the last several years, several decades of evangelism. The idea of born again is totally lost. It only means that at one time in a crusade, you made a decision and you think you were sincere. But there's no evidence of a supernatural recreating work of the Holy Spirit in your life. If any man, not if some men, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And now, it's the same today. What do we face? I'll tell you what we face. It's not a sort of infant baptism necessarily most of the time. It's not a high church confirmation by an ecclesiastical authority. What we face is the sinner's prayer. And I'm here to tell you, if there's anything I've declared war on, it's that. You say, Brother Paul, yes, in the same way that infant baptism, my opinion, was the golden calf of the Reformation, for the Baptists and the evangelicals and everyone else who's followed them today, I'll tell you, that sinner's prayer has sent more people to hell than anything on the face of the earth. You say, how can you say such a thing? Go with me to Scripture and show me, please. I would love you to stand up and tell me where anyone evangelized that way. The Scripture does not say that Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel and said that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, who would like to ask me into their hearts? I see that hand. It's not what it says. He said, repent and believe the gospel. How men today are trusting in the fact that at least one time in their life they prayed a prayer and someone told them they were saved because they were sincere enough. And so in their salvation, if you ask them, are you saved? They do not say, yes, I am, because I'm looking unto Jesus and there is mighty evidence giving me assurance of being born again. No, they say, one time in my life I prayed a prayer. And they live like devils. But they prayed a prayer. And some of them, I heard of one evangelist who was coaxing a man to do that thing. Find the man felt so uncomfortable, the evangelist said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll pray to God for you. And if it's what you want to say to God, squeeze my hand. Behold the power of God. Decisionism. The idolatry of decisionism. Men think they're going to heaven because they have judged the sincerity of their own decision. When Paul came to the church in Corinth, he did not say to them, look, you're not living like Christians, so let's go back to that one moment in your life when you prayed that prayer and let's see if you were sincere. No, he said this, test yourselves, examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Because I want you to know, my friend, salvation is by faith alone. It is a work of God. It is a grace upon grace upon grace. But the evidence of conversion is not just your examination of your sincerity at the moment of your conversion. It is the ongoing fruit in your life. It is the ongoing fruit in your life. Oh, my dear friend, look what we've done. Is it a tree known by its fruit? What, 60, 70% of America thinks it's converted, born again? We kill how many thousands of babies a day? We're hated around the world for our immorality? Yet we're Christian? And I lay this squarely, the blame, at the feet of the preacher.
Well, there you have it. That was Paul Washer that we've been playing for the last couple of minutes, a 5-minute clip or so where Paul Washer is addressing the concerns with the sinner's prayer, the idea of trusting and just making some sort of a decision, walking in the aisle, throwing a stick in the fire, maybe up at the Wilds or something, or some sort of a camp type event where, you know, there's an emotional appeal. And then to show your commitment for something, you do one of these activities to show your commitment for Christ. And therefore, what's taking place is that people then rest in that commitment that they made, even though there may not be any signs of life in their life, in their ongoing spiritual life with Christ whatsoever. So when you ask people, you know, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a believer? And they say, well, yes, because so many years ago I prayed the sinner's prayer. It's really the wrong place to look. We should be looking inwardly and say, yes, I'm a believer, because the work of God is ongoing in my heart right now, because I am progressing along in my sanctification. I am turning more and more away from unrighteousness and sin in my life, and I am being more and more conformed unto the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He that begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I posted another article, and you can read this, by John Sampson, but he had an article out there about whether or not you need to know the date then that you were saved. And his conclusion, and that is, no, you don't need to know the exact date that you were saved, because the Holy Spirit working in the heart, you may not be able to point to the exact point of conversion that took place in your life. So I hope this clarifies a little bit some of the comments that we made yesterday during the broadcast, where we talked about the subject of evangelism. We believe in evangelism. I pray that many, many people, men and women and boys and girls, would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but that they would truly be converted, not manipulated into making a decision. With that, remember this. Jesus said, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.